We have great leaders like Moses. Moses was one of the greatest leaders of that God raised up to lead Israel. And in fact, in Deuteronomy, if you'll notice, 34th chapter, verse 7, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, so that the days of weeping and mourning for Moses was ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. You notice Moses, God had Moses to prepare the next leader. We talked about that last week. But Joshua was the one who was going to take over from Moses. And Moses spent time helping him get prepared. In fact, the Bible says he laid his hands on him. In other words, he received the power of God in his life. And in fact, you'll notice there it says that Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. If we're going to lead in any capacity, we must be full of the spirit of God. We must have God's power, or we won't be able to lead. I think you all understand that. And then you notice in Joshua, then the next book, Joshua, verse number 1 of chapter 1, and now the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, is come to pass, and that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of thy feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And once again here, I want you to notice there come a time when God was done with Moses. And God took Moses home. But he rose up a new leader. Now, I want you to understand that. I heard a preacher say one day, God kills his servants, but his work always goes on. It's not about the servants. It's about the work of God. And we must always remember that. You know, sometimes we get to looking at the servants, you know. They looked at Moses and, in fact, you know, almost wanted to worship Moses. But it's not about Moses. There come a time when he was done with Moses and he raised up a new leader. That's just the way God does. And so here he raised up a man, of course, by the name of Joshua. Now, and I'm not going to read all of these, but in chapter 1 of Joshua, let me just read verse 8 and 9. He said, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And God gives Joshua instruction here. And in fact, in quite a few verses, I just read those, but in quite a few verses here in that first chapter, God is giving Joshua instruction. And the main thing he's saying to him is, you follow the Bible. You follow the Word of God. You put that before you. You keep that before you. That's the way you're going to have success. That would not be true just for Joshua. That would be true for us. We've got to have the Bible. We've got to keep the Word of God. We've got to keep the commandments of God. And then he gives him instructions to be courageous. The Christian life is not something that is always just easy to live. There's a lot of hardships, a lot of difficulties. That's why he said to Joshua, he said, you know, you need to be courageous. You need to keep your eye on the Lord. And so what he does there in those verses, he gives Joshua some instructions. It's a new leader. He's instructing him what he should do, how he should walk. Now, we'll find over in Joshua, the 24th chapter, let's go to the end of the book, just for a moment. 24th chapter of Joshua, we find in verse 29, says, "And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Now we come to the end of the book of Joshua, and Joshua, the leader that God chose to take them into the promised land, is now dead. Now, before he died, he done some things. The last three chapters of the book of Joshua, Joshua took time to prepare the people for his death. Again, I say to you, I believe it's important, and I know I've stressed this a lot, but we must prepare the generation that's coming up behind us. That is a necessity. That is a must. We must get them ready for leadership. Okay? We're going to pass off the scene. Maybe it won't be for years, but we got to make sure those coming up behind us is prepared and ready to take over the leadership of our churches and of our families. Okay? We got to prepare our men, our young boys, to be prepared to take and raise their families. Take leadership. Do you understand that? We've got to prepare them. We've got to raise them in such a way that they're ready to step out, and one of these days, as they get married, as they raise family, they take the leadership. They got to be ready and prepared for that. That don't just happen just accidentally. There has to be training and preparation for those coming up behind us. So what he did, what Joshua did, again, I'm not going to read all of the verses, but I want you to go to the 22nd chapter of Joshua just for a few moments. First verse, "Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, Ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I command you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren as he promised them. Therefore now return you and get you into your tents and into the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all of these his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him and all your heart with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went into their tents." Do you see what Joshua is doing? Joshua is getting ready to die. It won't be long, he'll be gone. And what's he doing? He's preparing the people. And what instructions is he giving them? He's telling them to listen to God, to mind the word of God, to serve God. You see, he's trying to get the people that ready for his departure and the future life. And we've got to do that same thing. We have got to raise our children and those around us. We've got to do everything we can to prepare them to love God for the rest of their life and keep the commandments of God. So Joshua gives them instructions in chapter 23. "And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for all their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you." You see what he's doing? He's reminding them of what God has done. Now, we're going to stress this in a few moments, but folks, that should be a part of our life. That should be a part of our family life. Always reminding our children what God has done for them. You see, that ought to be just something that is a natural part of our life. Reminding those around us, what has God done for us? And that's what he's doing here. And then he says, In verse 4, "Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you." And do you see now what he's doing? He's saying, you know, it's just not a past thing that God has done. He's going to do it for you in the future. You see, that's where our faith steps in. You see, God has done this, yes, for our fathers, but look what he will do for you. You see, and we've got to instill that into those coming up. God is not done. He's the same God. And he'll do it for you, just like he did it for us. In verse 6, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left." Now we could continue to read there, but did you see once again here what he is doing? What Joshua is doing? He's saying, just walk with God. Don't turn from the left or to the right. Just walk with God. Listen to his commandments. Don't get away from them. Just walk straight with the Lord for the rest of your life. See what he's doing? That's the way he's saying you'll have success. And then in chapter 24, once again, Joshua comes along. And in the first 13 verses, he basically gives them a history from Abraham on up to the present time. In fact, in verse 13, he says, "And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwelt in them of the vineyards and the olive yards, which ye planted not, do you eat." And he had already started back in the first of chapter 24, trying to save a little time. He gave them a whole history from Abraham. He said, that's what God did. He said, and then he talks about Moses and how they brought him out of Egypt and across the Red Sea and took him across the Jordan and spread the Jordan River and took him into the Promised Land. And he said, that's that land that I have given you. You see, once again, Joshua is reminding them of what God had done. Now, I'm convinced we forget too easy what God has done. And even in our own lives, I don't know your individual life, but I want to tell you right now, if I just would sit and look back at what God has done for me, it's phenomenal. And that's what we need to remember, okay? And that he's not stopped. Amen? He wants to continue to do that, okay? And then, of course, chapter 24, verses 14 on through verse 31. And again, I'm just going to read verse 31 because he ends, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel." And he again is simply saying here, this is what happened as a result of their faith in God. They walked with God, they served God, they loved God, and God blessed them, and they saw mighty works that God had done. Remember that statement, it says, "And Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua and which had known the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel." So what he was doing was this, he was preparing them people to go into the book of Judges. Getting them ready. Why? Because he was going to die. And he was preparing them. Okay? And now, I won't take time to go back there, but if you'll go back sometime to John, the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter, the 14th chapter, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did the very same thing for his disciples. If you'll read that, he prepared them for his death. He told them about what was going to happen. He told them about his death. And then he told them, well, let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. He was preparing them and getting them ready because their hearts was troubled. In chapter 13, he was telling them about what was going to happen. He was going to die. And then he told them, don't let your hearts be troubled. Everything's going to be all right. And so it takes preparation. I believe it is so, so important to prepare the next generation. And it's up for us to do this. Okay? Not just our children, but yes, our children. We must prepare them, you know, for what is coming in the future. We must get them ready. We must prepare them. And then also as a church. And I really believe this church does a great job at this, but we can't ever stop. We have got to continue to teach and preach to these young ones coming up that there's a wonderful God that loves them and that He will be with them for the rest of their life, and they must not turn from God. They must follow the Bible. They must believe in this old book. Amen. And get their hearts turned to the things of the Lord. We must do that. We've got to prepare the next generation, you see. Now, here's what I believe. I believe if it's awful hard to prepare the next generations, if, like we read there, that a generation coming up do not see the works of God. I'm going to talk to you a few minutes about this. You see, they saw what God did. This generation, these people, they saw what God done. They saw the mighty miracles. They saw marvelous things that God did for them. And if you'll notice, it said, you see, that outlived Joshua. Joshua died, but there were still the elders that outlived Joshua. And they had saw the works of God. But if you don't see the works of God, it's awful hard to hold to the things of God. And I believe, as I said to you, I believe that there's preparation work that must be done. If you'll go back, we're not going to do that, but if you would go back in your mind to Elijah and Elisha. Elijah came by one day and Elisha was plowing. He was a farmer. And he cast his mantle on him. You know the story. But let me tell you something. He followed Elijah and became his minister. But did you know it was 10 years went by before you ever hear of Elisha? 10 years he spent with Elijah to prepare him for his great ministry. And Elisha had a great ministry. In fact, he asked for the double power of God on his life, and he got it. He done probably double miracles that Elijah had done. But what did he just all at once take off and do that? No, it took 10 years of training and preparation. Did you know when Pastor Jerry came to work for us here, it was in 1994, and it was 11 years later when he took over as pastor? Do you know why that was? He needed the training. He needed the preparation. Amen. And my prayer has always been that he'll do 10 times more than what we did before that. That's the way God works. And that's the way it should be. You see, but it took time and preparation. He spent 6 years over in Brazil. And he went to school over there. But he came here and spent 11 more years of preparation. I'm saying to you, we must prepare those that's coming up. Amen? See, we've got to do that, you see. And so then you notice, and I'll go for a moment here in Judges, go over into Judges. I promised you we'd get in there. Judges, the second chapter, verse number 6, let me start. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went, every man into his inheritance to possess the land. And again, listen, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did in for Israel. You notice that statement again. You see, they outlived Joshua, but they were people who had saw the works of God. Okay, they saw all that God did. And then Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all of the generations were gathered unto their fathers, and there rose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, listen, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Now we have here, there was no actually prepared leader in the book of Judges. Every man began to do that which was right in his own eyes. You see, and so those died that had saw all the mighty works of God that he did for Israel. They died. And all at once, there arose a generation that knew not the Lord. And they began to do evil in the sight of God. Okay, keep that in mind, okay? Because the book of Judges begins there. This is important. Now, I just want to say something to you. There are churches all over this country. Look at verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. There is churches all over this country. I am not picking on any individual church. I'm not doing that, but you can look around the churches in these tri-counties here. I'm not picking on them. I'm not down on them. I'm simply saying there hasn't been anything happen in those churches for years and years and years and years and years. Nothing. Now, when I say nothing, did someone maybe get saved there? Possibility they did. But I want to talk to you in a few moments, because if a generation does not see the works of God, they'll walk away from God. This is so important. You see, we've got to be careful about this next generation coming up. It's important that they see something happening and God working. That is important. You know, most people sitting right here in this room, we've got a few that have been with us, but most of you never saw the beginning of this church. You can't help that. You wasn't here. Some did. A few did. That's sitting right here with us. You was in the beginning. As I said, you can't help something like that, but you never saw the battles that we went through when this church started. You just didn't see them. Okay? And again, that's not your fault, but you didn't see them. We had battles. Even your pastor today, he was 12 years old when we started this church. He didn't know about all the battles that was going on in this church, the beginning of this church, but he saw later on what was going on. You understand what I'm saying? And so it's important. That's why when Pastor Jerry went out here and decided, the Lord led him to build that building out there, this pastor was so tickled. You may not understand this, because the new generation needed to do that. No, they needed to do it. They needed to see the miracles of God. And God did perform a miracle. And they needed to see that. They needed to be involved in it. The older generation was involved in building this. And even that one back there on the end of this was a miracle. Do you know we only paid $70,000 for that whole new addition? Because why? The men worked and built that thing. They did the same out here. But the generation that's here now needed to see God do that. If you don't see God moving and doing, it's just easy to forget that God does that. You understand a little bit of what I'm talking about? You understand? You see, because, and not just a building program. Not just a building program. I'm talking about other things. They need to see God moving and God doing things and buses running and buses being bought and things happening and souls being saved and people being baptized. If a generation does not see that, they'll forget what God can do. So I'm going to say, and I'm going to bring it down another level. Your children and my children need to see God moving in our lives. They need to see God doing wonderful things in our life. Our children need to grow up seeing the wonderful works of God going on in our families. Do you understand what I'm talking about? They need to see God providing financially when you don't hardly have anything. And God performs a miracle. You ever been there? And the children need to hear you praising God for what he did. They need to grow up hearing those things, you see. They need to have grandparents that love God and walk with God. They need that. They need to see God working in grandparents' life and still taking care of them. Amen. They need to see aunts and uncles serving God, loving God, walking with God. You see, they need to see that, because if they don't see that, it's going to be like Israel. They'll forget that God does those things. See, and not only that, they need to see churches. They need to see pastors standing up and preaching the word of God without fear or favor. No, they need to see that. No. They need to see, come every Sunday and hear a preacher stand up and just preach the old Bible, the Word of God. Amen? And they need to see congregations that are just faithful to the Lord. People who come in and sit down in their seat and just here every time they can possibly ever be here, just continue to serve the Lord. And those kids growing up need to see that. Why? Because it's God working, doing something. They need to see deacons that are faithful deacons, not deacons that are laughed at and mocked at. They need to see good men like we've got here and a good example. They need to see that. Young people need to see that. Amen? Sure they do. And then, you know, and let me just say, many churches have failed because nothing has happened in their church for years. Now, I'm serious. Think in your mind, how long has it been, and I'm just talking, you can scatter it as far as you want to scatter it. How long has it been since you've seen or heard good news come in where God just got into a church and things begin to happen and souls begin to get saved? And where's it at? You name it. Isn't he the same God as he's always been? See, there needs to be good news coming out of these churches, folks. I'm serious. These little churches that sat around for years and years and there hasn't been anything going on in them. Let me tell you, why would a generation coming up in those churches have any excitement for God? You've got to see God work. Amen? And God is working here. And you've got to see God work. Or you'll grow up and pretty soon you'll forget that God can even do those things. That's where the problem is all across this country. There's just church after church after church that has not done anything for God for years and years. and their generations, the children that's growing up in those churches, don't believe that God can do anything. They've never seen it. You've got to see God work.
Amen?
Amen? See, that is a must. So if a generation does not see the works of God, they're not going to follow through with the works of God. That's why they're turning and going in a different direction. They're looking for excitement somewhere else. I just happen to believe that God's work is exciting work. And to see Him work and to move is an amazing thing. Amen? You see, they have forgot what it was to be a strong, vibrant force for God. They've never seen it. Just never seen it. So what happens is they become a weak social organization that don't remember ever seeing anything for God, and all they know to do is to continue a church that is a social organization. That's all they know. Okay? You know, that's what's the matter with America. Leaders overseas in France and all in Europe over there has forgot. They forgot what America sent over there and did for them back in World War II. No, they forgot that our soldiers came over there and died for their freedom. And now they scoff at us here in America because they forgot. That's back in Exodus, I believe it is, where it says that there rose a generation that knew not Joseph. You know what? Then what did they want to do? They wanted to run Israel out of their country. Why? Because they knew not Joseph. They forgot what Joseph did for Egypt and all those back in those days. They forgot all of that. They didn't know Joseph, you see. And these over there have forgot what America did. And in fact, most in America nowadays has forgot what America truly is. Our president has forgotten what truly our America is and has been. Okay? And when you forget those things, you turn around, you go in an opposite direction, away from the Lord. It's the Lord that has kept this country strong. It's Him that has done that. And we want to turn from it. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, folks, if we don't see a place where God is working, we'll do the same thing. See, there's a lot of individuals in America that has just forgotten God because they haven't seen God work. It isn't His fault, but they have not depended on Him. The generation before them have not depended on Him to work. We got to get back, and we got to remember this at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I think we do, and I think our pastor does a tremendous job in doing this. I'm just saying to you, we can never forget that it's God that does all these things around here. God, with the leadership of our pastor, built that building, and young people got to see what God could do, has paid for when it was done. That's a miracle of God. See, when we see souls saved, that's a miracle of God. And our young people and our people growing up in this church has the right to see God moving in this church. But also your children and my children and our grandchildren has a right to see God moving in our lives. Amen? Seeing us bragging on the Lord. Amen. Never forgetting what He has done. All right. Thank you, folks. Father, thank you again today for your grace and your goodness and kindness. Thank you for who you are. You're the true, the living God. You're the only God. There is none else. And I just want to say thank you for sending your Son today. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for coming and dying. and being buried and raising again. Thank you so much. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.